సో హీ సేస్ దట్ ద ఆథర్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి రసాంసింధు శ్రీ రూప గోస్వామి వెరీ హంబ్లీ సబ్మిట్స్ దట్ హీ ఈస్ జస్ట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు స్ప్రెడ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ ద వరల్డ్ ఆల్దో హీ హంబ్లీ థింక్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అన్ఫిట్ ఫర్ దిస్ వర్క్. దట్ షుడ్ బి ది యాటిట్యూడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ప్రీచర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మూమెంట్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ఇన్ ద ఫుట్ స్టెప్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల రూప గోస్వామి. We should never think of ourselves as great preachers, but should always consider that we are simply instrumental to the previous acharyas, and simply by following in their footsteps, we may be able to do something for the benefit of suffering humanity. So we should not think that we are great preachers. We should just think that let me act as an instrument in the hands of my Guru and Krishna in trying to benefit someone like that. So in this way, Rupa Goswami offers his respects to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose inspiration, Rupa Goswami says, is the sole cause for him to compile this book. Then, in the next verse, he glorifies Sanatan Goswami, who is his guru. He says, Vishrama Mandirataya Tasya Sanatana Tanor Madishasya భక్తి రసామృత సింధుర్ భవతు సదాయం ప్రమోదాయ. మే దిస్ వర్క్ నేమ్డ్ భక్తి రసామృత సింధు సదా ఆల్వేస్ విశ్రామ మందిరతయ. మే దిస్ ఓషన్ యాక్ట్ యాస్ ది రిక్రియేషన్ హాల్ ఫర్ హూమ్ మదీశస్య ఫర్ మై లార్డ్. హూ ఇస్ యువర్ లార్డ్? సనాతన తనోహో. సో సనాతన తనోహో మీన్స్ one who has an eternal body, which is the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Sanatana Tanoho means my Lord, Sanatana Goswami, one who has the body of Sanatana Goswami. Pramodaya, I have created this ocean for his pleasure. Let him consider this ocean as his recreation hall. Whenever he wants to have some recreation, let him come and spend time in this recreation hall of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like that. So yes, in the beginning only he has said, this is, please consider this as your recreation hall, O Sanatana Goswami, like that. So in this way, he glorifies Sanatana Goswami, Guru Vandana, and then finally he offers obeisances to the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Vandana. He says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu చరతః పరిభూత కాల జాల వ్యయః భక్త మకరాన్ అశీలిత ముక్తి నదికాన్ నమస్యామి. సో హీ సేస్ దట్ నమస్యామి, ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు హూమ్? భక్త మకరాన్, ద డివోటీస్ హు ఆర్ కంపేర్డ్ టు మకర. Makara can mean shark. That's how we generally translate, because there is no equivalent translation of the word makara in English, because the Vedic literatures describe a makara to have the body, you know, body of a fish, something like hands of human hands and head of a lion or something like that, of course. And it is said to be the king of all aquatics, Makara. It is not the biggest, of course. The biggest is a Timingala in the Vedic understanding also, which may be like, it may refer to the sulfur bottom whale or something like that, blue whale. But the king of all the aquatics is actually Makara. And Rupa Goswami is comparing the devotees to Makara. Bhakta Makaram Namasyami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Makara-like devotees. So why is he comparing the devotees to Makara? He says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhau Charataha. the you will always find a makara only in the ocean and never in any of the lower water bodies like rivers, lakes, ponds, like that. Similarly, the devotees can be seen to frolic and enjoy only in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa and not in any other ocean. That is one reason he gives. The second reason he gives is Ashilita Mukti Nadikan. Ashilita means to disregard. Even though there are many rivers which are constantly flowing into the ocean of but you will never find a makara getting curious to go and check out some rivers. Let me go and see how it is like to swim in the river water. Similarly, the various kinds of mukti, salokya, sarshti, samipya, sarupya, ekatvam apyuta, diyamanam na grananti vina matsevanam jana. Even though the devotee has all the opportunity to accept various kinds of mukti, as Billwa Mangal Thakur says, mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate asman. Now Mukti Devi comes with folded hands and tells the devotee, please engage me in your service. But devotee says, no thanks. So even though many rivers are flowing into the ocean, you will never see a makara checking out any of these rivers. The makara is happy in the ocean water only. Similarly, even though all the opportunities of various kinds of mukti are available for the devotee, but the devotee is happy swimming only in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa. This is the second reason. The third reason is Paribhuta Kala Jala Biyaha. You will never find a makara in a fisherman's net. Never ever in the history. Why? They are not too big, but they are actually deep water swimmers. You will never find them in shallow waters at all. So, a fisherman's net, how deep can it go? It can only get the shallow water fishes. So, you will never find a makara in a fisherman's net. For the same reason, devotees, because they swim quite deep in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa, therefore they can never be caught by the net of time and karma. So they are never caught by the net of time and they are never caught by the net of karma. So for these three reasons, Rupa Goswami is comparing the devotees to makaras. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhau Charataha Paribhuta Kala Jala Biyaha Ashilita Mukti Nadikan. They disregard the rivers of Mukti, which freely flow into the ocean, non-stop. Gangai Vogam Mudanvati. So, Ganga and other such rivers, they freely flow into the ocean. But the makara is not interested. Like that. So, for these three reasons, Rupa Goswami is comparing the devotees to makaras. And he offers his obeisances to such makara like devotees. Jala means net, kala is time, to not be caught by the net of time means to not be caught by the net of karma, because time is just the carrier of one's karma. When time comes, It always carries some gift to us, and generally for ordinary people it carries their karma, and for devotees it carries Krishna's will. Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this verse, he says, great devotees and acharyas are compared to sharks in the great ocean of nectar, Bhakta Makaran. They do not carry for various rivers of liberation. Ashilita Mukti Nadikan. The ocean can be compared to liberation and the rivers to all the different paths of liberation. The impersonalists are dwelling in the river water, which eventually comes to mix with the ocean. They have no information, however, that within the ocean, as within the river, there are innumerable aquatic living entities. So they say that once the ocean water flows into ocean, can you differentiate which is the ocean water, which is the river water? You cannot. So similarly, they say when the living entity merges into Brahman, it loses its identity. So Prabhupada says, following the footsteps of the Acharyas, when the river water flows into ocean, there is no difference between river water and ocean water. But when the aquatics in the river, when they flow into the ocean, the aquatics retain their individuality. It's not that the aquatics also become ocean water. So, in this way, Prabhupada says that even when the living entity merges in the Brahma Jyoti, he wants to give up his individuality, but he does not. He cannot actually. Because the living entity is eternal. He is eternally individual and he has no means to give up that eternal individuality. The sharks who dwell in the ocean do not care for the rivers which are gliding down into it. The devotees eternally live in the ocean of devotional service and they do not care for the rivers. Like that. So in this way, Rupa Goswami glorifies Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavan, Tinera Smaran. He is remembering favorably Sanatana Goswami, his Guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his worshipable Lord, and all the devotees who are swimming deep in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa. Like that. So this brings us to the third aspect of Mangalacharan, which is Ashirvad. Ashirvad means blessings. So generally the author offers a blessing to its readers. What will you gain by taking shelter of this book? Like for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers an Ashirvad to its readers. Anarpita charim chirat karunayavatirna kalau samarpayitum unnata ujjvala rasam sva bhakti shriyam hari purata sundara didi kadamba sandeepitah sada hridaya kandare spuratuvah shachinandana. My dear readers, may Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, always stay within the innermost core of your hearts. So that is the blessing that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is offering to the readers. May your heart always be filled with thoughts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. May he enter into the innermost core of your heart. Similarly, Vyasadeva offers. What is the blessing that Vyasadeva offers to those who take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam? Ishvara Sadyo Hridi Avarudyate Atra Kritibhis Shushrushibhit Tachanat. If a beginning devotee takes shelter of Bhagavatam, if an expert devotee takes shelter of Bhagavatam, as soon as he reads one word from it, immediately in his heart the Supreme Lord will manifest. Ishvara Sadyo Hridi Avarudyate. Immediately the Supreme Lord will manifest within his heart. But one may not be an expert. One may be a beginner, one may be a neophyte. What will happen if he studies Bhagavatam? Tachanat avarudyate. Gradually over a period of time, the Supreme Lord will manifest in his heart. So, same thing. Sada hridaya kandare spuratu vaha shachinandana. And same thing, Bhagavatam also says, Ishvara sadyo hridya avarudyate. Very soon, the Supreme Lord will manifest within your heart if you take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Rupa Goswami is going to offer a Ashirvad to his readers. What is the Ashirvad that he is going to offer? Mimamsaka vadabhagnehe katinam api kuntayan asau jihvam spuratu sanatana suchiram tava bhakti rasamritam bodhi. He says, O Sanatana Goswami, tava bhakti rasamritam bodhi. He has already offered, if you remember, O Sanatana Goswami, may this be your recreation hall. So which means he has offered it to Sanatana Goswami. Therefore in this verse he says, your bhakti rasamrita sindhu, like that he is telling. May this, may your ocean of bhakti rasa remain for a long time, restricting the harsh arguments of the proponents of karma and jnana, just as the ocean restricts the flame of the vadava fire. So, just as in the land we have volcanoes, and when volcanic eruption happens, we can do nothing, we can just watch it or run from that place. And that's all we can do, we can't do anything. It is mentioned that within the ocean, there are bigger mountains and more ferocious volcanoes. But no one even comes to know about those volcanoes because the sheer quantity of water in an ocean completely smothers and subdues all that volcanic eruption that happens within the ocean. Nothing happens actually. So, the flame of a volcano when it comes out is called as jihva in Sanskrit. And the tongue is also called jihva. So, Rupa Goswami is drawing a parallel. He is telling that the proponents of the theories, non-devotional theories like Karma Mimamsa or Jnana Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, Karma, Jnana, Yoga and various other philosophies or modern philosophies, their philosophers, those philosophers are compared to volcanoes. But if one takes shelter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they are like volcanic eruptions inside the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The waters of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu will completely smother their tongues. Jihva. So basically the Ashirvad or the blessing that Rupa Goswami is offering to the readers of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is that if you take shelter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you will never be confused or tormented by other non-devotional philosophies. Non-devotional, pseudo-devotional, quasi-devotional, mixed devotional, all kinds of philosophies, one will not be affected or tormented because the ocean of Bhakti Rasa will completely smother their tongues. Like that. So that is the Ashirvad that Rupa Goswami is offering to the readers of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Correct. Their tongue would be smothered indicates one with a smothered tongue cannot speak eloquently and create an impact. So their tongue has been smothered means it will, their speaking will not impact the devotee in that sense. They may not be transformed immediately. They may not accept defeat. But at least, just like a person with a smothered tongue cannot speak very impactfully, similarly, the devotee will not be impacted by all the ramblings of the non-devotee in that sense.
As good as smothered tongue.
as good as mother. So Srila Prabhupada commenting on this verse, he says, Srila Rupa Goswami prays to his spiritual master Srila Sanatana Goswami for the protection of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The ocean of pure nectar of devotional service from the argumentative logicians who unnecessarily meddle in the science of service to the Lord. He compares their arguments and logic to volcanic eruptions in the midst of the ocean. In the midst of the ocean, volcanic eruptions can do very little harm. And similarly, those who are against devotional service to the Lord and who put forward many philosophical theses about the ultimate transcendental realization cannot disturb this great ocean of devotional service. Okay. So, in this way, we come to the end of this first section. Which is Mangalacharan, invoking auspiciousness. Vastu Nirdesh, Ashirvada and Namaskar. But we saw it in a slightly different order. Vastu Nirdesh, Namaskar and Ashirvada. So the three aspects of Mangalacharan as mentioned by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Rupa Goswami also starts this book. So here I remember recently someone who had attended Nectar of Devotion before, he wrote me an email. What is the Vastu Nirdesh Shloka of Bhagavad Gita? And where is this three kinds of Guru Vandana, Vaishnava Vandana and all mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? So can anyone would like to? Yes. It is a part of a bigger book. And another thing is, it was not written in the form of a book, it was spoken. The Supreme Lord speaking, so therefore it was not written in the form of a book, it was just a conversation. So therefore those components are generally not there. But still, if you see, some of those elements might be there, as Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Sri Vijaya Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama. You can say this is like the Ashirvad Shloka of Bhagavad Gita, like that. I don't know, I'm just guessing. Bhagavad Gita. You can say, maybe, but I have not, you can say, that way you can say, that verse indicates that that is the vastu of Bhagavad Gita.
So those devotees who worship him, they do this.
Correct. So that is what, you can say. In that sense, Krishna is the Vastu. As we saw, for in any Vaishnava literature, Krishna is the Vastu. Correct. So now we come to the next part of this book, which is called as Grantha Vibhag. How this book is divided. So some of you who already attended the previous course, many of these concepts from Bhakti Rasam Sindhu we already discussed. So, but there are many new devotees who are attending also, so I may have to repeat some of them. So kindly tolerate, and it may be a revision for you also. Because as we saw, most of the books subsequently written in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara were written based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu only. So any other book we discuss, we will discuss principles from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, in our previous Harinam Chintamani discussion also, we discussed from different places. We also discussed a lot from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, many of these concepts you will all already be quite familiar. Just that we are seeing it in a little more systematic way, that's all. So, how Rupa Goswami divides this book, Grantha Vibhag, that's what we are going to see now. So, just like, so this is an ocean, but this is not a saltwater ocean. This is an ocean of Bhakti Rasa. So, just like you have the eastern side, southern side, western side and northern side of an ocean. Similarly, in this ocean of Bhakti Rasa also, there is an eastern side, there is a southern side, there is a western side and there is a northern side. Okay. So, the eastern side is what constitutes the first 19 chapters of NOD, which is the subject matter of Bhakti Shastri. Okay. So, the eastern side talks about varieties of Bhakti. So, and just like in an ocean there are waves, the chapters in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu are divided into waves. Okay. First wave, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, like that. So, the first wave of eastern section is Samanya Bhakti, the general characteristics of Bhakti, that's what we will see. Then the second wave, which is the longest wave, is going to speak about Sadhana Bhakti, devotional service in practice. Then the third wave will speak about Bhava Bhakti, which is devotional service in ecstasy. And the fourth wave will speak about Prema Bhakti, which is devotional service in love of God. Okay. So, in this way, the eastern section is divided into four waves. Okay. Then, coming to the southern section, the southern section talks about what is called as Samagri Bhavas. Samagri Bhavas means that which constitute rasa, the ingredients of rasa. So, rasa you can say is like an experience. Like an experience. And when two people who have affection for each other, when they come together, the emotions and experience felt by each other is called as rasa. Okay. And this rasa has many components, which are vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, vyabhichari bhav and sthayi bhav. Okay. I will very briefly tell you what these five are. We already discussed this once or twice in our previous course, but for the newcomers I will just touch upon this subject matter. So, like for example, if I give, I'll give the same example. Like we used to about once a year or twice a year in our, when we were young, we used to go to some restaurant to eat. Generally mother cooks at home, very rarely sometimes, but those days we very eagerly look forward to, because some change. So we decide the date many days before, and then it's generally someone's birthday, and then we, you know, we decide which restaurant to go, and then we plan, we dress up, and then we go, and then, you know, it's not just in the eating. You enter the restaurant, the fragrance, the ambience, everything adds to the whole experience. Then you don't go and sit and start eating. First you spend at least some 20-25 minutes going over the menu card, looking around who is eating what, you know, what you know seems very appetizing, and then taking in the various fragrances that are coming, and then you decide who will order what, and then you order, and then you slowly eat, and then, you know, then someone orders something else and you want to taste that also, like that. So that whole experience, you know, all of this add together to the whole experience. In fact, what you are eating may not be that much good quality also compared to what you eat at home. But then this whole experience of planning and going, coming together, discussing, going over the menu card and deciding and all that. Because at home you don't get to, your mother does not give you a menu card, you know. Whatever is there you have to eat. But that whole experience, you know, it adds to the whole thing. So all of them come together to give you the experience of, you know, visiting a restaurant with your family. Similarly, in the experience of spiritual emotions, what to speak of spiritual emotions, even material emotions. And there is a lot of similarity between material emotions and spiritual emotions. And there is some very very important differences also. But you will be surprised to see the level of similarity that is there between spiritual emotions and material emotions. That we will discuss a little later. But if you see, let's try to understand spiritual emotions through our material experiences only. And I will again use the same example of our Rasikraman Prabhu. I remember, for those who are hearing it again, it will be easy to follow. So let's say Rasikraman Prabhu goes home after a very long time. He is going to visit his mother. He has not informed, you know, prior to his visiting. His mother is not expecting him. So when he knocks the door and the mother opens, she is not expecting. She is seeing him after a year or two, let's say. And suddenly, she experiences certain emotions which are completely involuntary. Like tears start flowing from eyes, hair starts standing on end. Sometimes the voice gets choked up. So these are all involuntary bodily reactions which anyone undergoes. When one is pounded by very strong emotions, naturally these involuntary bodily response is there. These are called as Ashta Sattvika Vikaras, Sattvika Bhav. Okay. So you see the third point, that is called as Sattvika Bhav. So the Sattvika Bhav is response to the involuntary, spontaneous involuntary bodily response to a very strong emotion. So now, how is this emotion created? What if I had knocked the door and she had opened the door? Would she have cried? Would her hairs would have, would it have stood on end? Nothing would have happened. Why? Because a basic relationship does not exist. That basic relationship is called as Thayi Bhav. In this case, it happens to be Vatsalya Bhav. Correct? So that is called as Thayi Bhav, the fifth one. Okay? And for the emotions to get triggered, you need two people. One who is the object of love. In this case, the object of love is Rasikraman Prabhu. And the reservoir of love, which is his mother. So there is the reservoir of love, then there is the object of love. So this is called as Vibhav. Vibhav means that which triggers the emotions. So in my case, when I knock the door, even though she is neither the reservoir of love nor am I the object of love, because there is no presence of a relationship there. So Vibhav means that which triggers the emotions, and the emotion is triggered because there is a basic Thayi Bhav that is existing between the two. And when the emotion is triggered, it manifests in the body in the form of Sattvika Bhavas, which are involuntary, spontaneous bodily response. There is no thought process involved there. So when that, then after that what happens? When that initial shock is overcome, then she might, in great joy, she might embrace him. And, you know, she might jump in joy or whatever. So these kind of reactions are called as anubhavas, which is the second one. So anubhavas are, there is some element of premeditation there. Even though it is spontaneous reaction, the mother spontaneously wants to embrace the child, but you see, the mother spontaneously wants to embrace the child, then she embraces, which means there is some premeditation there. But does the mother want to cry? Does the mother want her hairs to stand on end and then it stands? No. So when there is a meeting between two people sharing an affectionate relationship, when that relationship is very strong and if it creates very strong emotions, then two types of bodily reactions follow. One is a spontaneous, non-premeditated, involuntary bodily reaction, bodily response, which is sattvika bhavas. There are 8 of them. Some of them manifest, some of them don't manifest, depending on the intensity of that emotion. And there is second type of spontaneous reaction only, but there is some element of premeditation there. They are called as anubhavas, which is the second. You understand? And then there is something called as sanchari bhavas or vyabhichari bhavas. Sanchari or vyabhichari means transient. Transient means they come and they go. So, what would be Rasikraman Prabhu's next response? She would become angry. Why? Because why didn't you come so many days? Why did it take you 2 years to visit me? And why couldn't you inform before? I would have cooked the feast for you. So this anger, is it that she will feel angry for the whole day or the whole week that he stays there? No. It will come, it will rise, it will peak, it will fade away, then it will vanish. So, therefore it is called as sanchari bhava. It comes and it goes. So it comes, it enhances and it goes. So even that anger enhances that love. What if the mother would have opened the door and said, okay, come inside. No emotions. How would Rasikraman Prabhu feel? Or anyone feel for that matter? I am coming after 2 days, there is absolutely no emotion. So even that anger is very much welcome. Actually, that anger is something probably he might be looking forward to. So even though it is anger, but that is anger born out of love. So it comes, it enhances the experience and it moves away. So the beauty of sanchari bhava is that it should move away. It can't stay for longer. If it stays for longer, then it spoils the whole mood. What if the mother is constantly angry and she says that I will not cook for you and it would be better if you get out of this house. Yeah. And I really mean it. And if she shuts the door, then yeah, if the sanchari bhav becomes thai bhav, then the whole relationship breaks actually. Like sometimes when a mother is crossing the road with a child in her hands and there is traffic and the child suddenly starts to break free from the mother's grip and she starts running, the mother panics. So what she will do? She'll catch hold of the child and she will slap that child. That is a natural response born out of concern for the child. That is a transient emotion. That can't be the sthayi bhav. You can't have a relationship where the mother is constantly beating the child. She beats the child till she leaves to school, and after she comes back from school, she again takes over from where she left. So that transient emotion, that immediately the child also understands that this slapping is coming out of a genuine concern. So in this way, if you see, all these samagri bhavas, when they come together, it gives the overall experience of a very affectionate relationship, and that experience is called as rasa. So the southern section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains these samagri bhavas in great detail. Actually, if you, the first 19 chapters, volume wise, if you see, is 1/3 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then the southern section, which talks about these ingredients of rasa, this is 1/3 actually. Then western and northern section put together is 1/3, volume wise. So the western side then talks about the 5 primary rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, 5 primary rasas. And the northern side talks about the 7 secondary rasas, and there are some rasas which are compatible, that we saw some example. Sakya and Hasya is compatible, and Vatsalya and Karuna is compatible, and so it talks about those compatible rasas. And it also talks about rasabhas, which means some mellows cannot coexist. So it is called as rasabhas. Like for example, when Kapiladev was going to be born, Kardam Muni had given a vow to Mother Devahuti that as soon as a male child is born, I'll leave to the forest. And also it is mentioned Panchashordvam Vanam Vrajet. One should go after 50, one should go to the forest. But Kapiladev is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nanda Maharaj, there is no account of Nanda Maharaj going to forest after Krishna was born. So because that is not needed, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared there. So Kardam Muni, he could have chosen to stay back, but he leaves. And the Acharyas explain, why did Kardam Muni leave? Because his relationship with the Lord was in Dasyaras. And now that Kardam Muni had, Kapiladev had appeared as a son, that Vatsalya is not compatible with Dasya. Dasya is compatible with Vatsalya. Dasya is, you know, a Vatsalya person can have Dasya also. Like a parent can serve, but a servant cannot take the role of a parent and chastise the master. He has to always be subservient. Whereas the parent can always take the role of a servant and clean the child and serve the child and do all that. So he could not tolerate this tension of his, he has Dasya bhav towards the Supreme Lord, but whereas this Vatsalya seems very incompatible. Rasabhas. So he decides, okay, and anyway I had also taken a vow that I will go to forest, so let me fulfill that vow. And Kapiladev understands this, and Kapiladev says that if you want to go, you may go. Indicating that I am not asking you to go, because that would be very insensitive on my part. But if you want to go, you may go, because you have taken the vow to go to forest. You may go, like that he says. So the northern section talks about the 7 secondary rasas, and there are compatible rasas, and then there are incompatible rasas. So there are 9 waves in the northern section, 5 waves which are the 5 primary rasas in the western section, 5 waves, the 5 samagri bhavas, the ingredients of rasa in the east southern section, and 4 waves in the eastern section, which talks about the various types of bhakti. Yes, bro. Why eastern? Why it starts with east and? Chaitanya Charitamrita is there. Of course, I don't think there is any context to this. He might as well, at least in Bhaktirasam Sandhu, neither Rupa Goswami mentions why in East these topics are there, why he starts with East, nor do Jiva Goswami or Vishnu Jagadish Thakur or Prabhupada comment anything on that. So I do not know why it starts with the East. If anyone knows, you can share. I mean, not your guess, but if you know for sure, you can please share. Okay, so, yes, Prabhu.
Well, Vatsalya Bhava, that seems to appear different for a mother and different for a father.
Okay.
Motherly Vatsalya Bhava has more of a compassion, and Vatsalya Bhava for the father is more of a discipline.
Yeah. There is. If we come to the western section and we talk about Vatsalya Bhava, you are telling a very basic difference. You will be shocked to see to what detail Rupa Goswami goes to explain the various facets of Vatsalya Rasa. In fact, material Vatsalya Rasa has not been researched so thoroughly as Rupa Goswami has researched the spiritual emotions, actually. But of course, many of these have very strong parallels in material emotions also. Of course, this is one aspect of one very valid observation. But if you go through that section on Vatsalya Ras in the western section, he goes into great detail explaining the various facets of Vatsalya Bhava. Okay, so it's already time. So before we end, so next class will be very important discussion. We'll be discussing the definition of pure devotional service, which is the most pivotal part of what we will discuss. So please try to attend. But before we end, I just want to give a small clarification. Maybe Shukma Vishnu, would you like to speak? Because this is not a Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vaibhav class, the temple rules are such that for Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Shastri official courses, the prasadam is actually, it is covered in the course. But for those of you who are attending these kind of courses, which are not proper certified courses, but just some kind of nourishment courses. Actually, from our observation, not everyone takes prasadam also. So, for those who take prasadam, you may have to pay for it. For those who do not take prasadam, you don't have to pay anything. So, I think we will have like what? It's 200 per month, so four classes, 50 rupees per meal. So I think we will have coupons. So next week onwards, so today's prasadam is there, we have arranged for it, but next week onwards, how are we exactly going to do? How will we know beforehand how many devotees will take prasadam? You can just raise your hands from next week onwards, who is going to take prasadam, and we will ask them to make that much only, and we will distribute coupons also from next time. So, one, two, three, four, five. Anyone else? From Mataji's side, only one devotee raised the hands. Two. So, six people. So, we will tell 10, just in case if you decide to change your mind, you can still take coupons next time you come. Like that. So, any quick comments, questions based on either what we discussed today or the prasadam part, you can please ask now and get it clarified. Will we have classes here only? We will inform you. Did you count how many are there? 29 devotees including brahmacharis. Okay, I think we will have it in base class only next week. Even I am finding it more convenient. So yeah, we can't see. Okay, fine. Yeah, of course, in base classroom that will be taken care of. So from next week onwards, we will have it there only and see if more devotees come, and if it starts overflowing, then we will decide. Otherwise, we will continue it in base classroom only. That is more convenient. Okay, 5 minutes recap from next session onwards, we will have definitely. Beginning, we did have a recap generally. But in the end also I can have a recap of what we did. Okay, yes. We will do. Anything else? Anything about the prasadam? Or is it okay? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki.
मेरा प्रश्न मैं रोज ही इधर लेता हूँ ना मंथली पेमेंट रहता है प्रशांत
I'll do it. Give me some time because
I missed some point or something.
No, I'll definitely go through it. I'll definitely go through it.